Welcome, everyone. This is October the 4th, and it's just a gorgeous day down here on the Texas coast. I hope it's a beautiful day for you wherever you are. We have people calling in from literally all over the globe, and it's wonderful that we can come together for this sacred and holy purpose. Here, we're looking forward to our blessing conference next week. We will be having people arriving on, most of them on Friday, to be here for next Saturday and Sunday. And I want to make an announcement that I will be sending out email during this week. Be sure and pick up your email because it's going to contain a new time for us to connect for the blessing. We want to offer the blessing to you next week from all of our new blessing givers. And of course, I would not be available during our normal time because we will be conducting the seminar in the early part of Sunday afternoon. So that's just a little bit of a heads up for now, and it'll all be in the email that will be sent to you. It will be an extremely special time for us to all join and be together as one community, welcoming our new blessing givers who will be on fire with the passion of Christ. And I hope that you'll give them a great welcome by being here in large numbers for them next Sunday. So I am so excited, and it almost feels like Holy Week. It almost feels like the week before Easter because I can feel how strongly the Spirit of Christ will be moving through us and into that occasion to bring more wonderful people into an expression of His service in a world that needs so much encouragement and hope and direction. Throughout the ages, we have had many different forms of, traditional religions, whether it was Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or any of the other traditional religions. At least they gave people guidance. Whether you think they would have been the right religion for you, they were right for others. And it gave people a sense of connection between heaven and earth. Today, there are so many confusions, shall we say, to put it lightly, so many confusions among our many, many people connecting around the world. Well, what do we believe in now? We've had a technological revolution. We've had a mingling of cultures. We've had so many deceptions exposed from our different governments, not just one, but almost all of them. We've had so much exposure and so much revelations of discredibility. People are wondering, well, what do we believe? What can we believe? And what Yeshua's message to the people 2,000 years ago basically said is look inside yourself to your own heart that was created in the image of God. Start with your own ability to have faith in God, faith in your Creator. We think we're living in a chaotic world, but just imagine the world that the Jewish people, the Hebrew people of, and so many of the Semitic people were blending and mingling in and around Jerusalem 2,000 years ago under the dominance of Rome. It was a melting pot. In many ways, Jerusalem 2,000 years ago was like New York City or Hong Kong. It was a hub of the mercantile world. Pathways leading from the Orient, from Europe, from Egypt, all converging in Jerusalem. It's always been a very important, powerful mercantile business, banking, and political center because it represents the crossroads of the world. And it did then, just as it is now, except for one big difference. There was so much poverty, so much disease, so many people hanging just onto the edge of their life, and so many diverse religions. There were, you know, when I was kind of struggling over the word Jewish and Hebrew and Semitic, it's because Judaism was virtually fractionated. There were so many different sects of Judaism, not just one, but many, and some of them were in conflict. They had similar roots, yes, but it was hard to find two people who would agree unless you really went to the temple, into the synagogue, or the sacred area outside, just inside, or just inside the gates. You could begin to find people who would agree. But people were asking Jesus, what can we believe? What do we think? Where do we go? And he always directed them back to their heart, back to their conscience. He instructed them not to hold grudges, not to even hold to their guilt, not to even judge themselves, but to forgive. He said, judge not, lest you be not judged. If you carry a sword, you'll die by the sword. Don't be part of the conflict. Be part of the pathway to peace. Be part of the unfolding of love. And that's still good advice today, especially good advice today because we don't have a homogeneous culture anymore that we can just, we can't flip through a calendar of Norman Rockwell pictures anymore and say, oh, this is a nice shot of someone who looks like Uncle Henry that carries mail, or my grandfather who was a doctor, or the lady that helped the kids cross at the school crossing. Today we drive by schools and we see chain link fences all around them. It's not the same world. We're living in a very challenged, diverse world that doesn't know what to believe. We still have one God, however. And you have one heart. And we all are one family. We all came from the same spiritual source. And someday, maybe a long time from now, maybe not even inside this physical life that you're living, but somewhere down the road, we'll all return to God. We're on a very long adventure, and that adventure has lots of challenges and lots of turns and bends in the road. Sometimes we don't feel supported, but we can change that by just supporting one another. We don't have to make a big political issue out of it. Be kind to your neighbor. Make some cookies for them. Help out at the school or the church, or just be a better friend to people at work. There's always a way to make this a better world and to be a better hub of experience for other people. Now, I know I promised you 10 minutes to converse and bring your questions, but I went through the board and noticed nobody's come on the board. Nobody has a question. So I'm still scouting through the pages of the board, looking to see if anybody would like to ask for a blessing. And there's still time. I can always pick up where I left off, but I don't see anyone coming on yet. So I will just continue to chat, but know that we're still in community time. So if you have something to add or comment or a question to ask, just know that I'm looking for you and we'll open up your line if it's possible. But I just enjoy the bliss and the pleasure of being a voice for Yeshua. A little bit like John the Baptist said, I am a voice in the wilderness. And often I feel like that's who I am as well. I see that Nancy Rose on the line. Hi, I've opened your line.
I would like to ask everyone to pray for world peace. I do every day, and I want everyone to pray for world peace. It is so essential.
Yes. Thank you so much, Nancy. That's great. And we'll make that a special theme in our blessing today.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. See how easy that was? And we have a Joan. Is it Joan or Joanne?
Oh, I dialed the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I was just getting on, so.
Well, would you like to say something?
Well, this is my first call, and I loved your book, and I am glad to join you for this blessing.
That's wonderful, and welcome. I hope you find it a blessing to be here.
I'm sure I will.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us know about you and introducing yourself. It's always good to make new friends.
Now, do I press *6 again?
No, I'll take care of it.
Okay.
That's
thanks.
Just fine. We'll just take care of it on our end. So we will just continue. As I was saying, John the Baptist considered himself to be a voice in the wilderness. And it's easy sometimes for me to forget that Love Without End is now actually floating around the world. Over 1 million copies have been printed and are in circulation. Of course, some of them have probably been consumed or fell off the wagon somehow, and some of them are in other languages. It's in 7 other languages now. But if you think about the fact that not just one person has read or been influenced by each one of these books, it could have affected the lives of millions of people. I get letters from people expressing their deep appreciation, their love, and how much they were touched by the message. And it's easy to forget, though, that there's work going on out there that I never see. And I just keep doing it because it feels good to me. It feels like the right thing to do. It gives me an opportunity to have a relationship with Yeshua and extend that relationship to the world. And I don't know what will come from it. I do know from feedback that a lot of positive good has happened in the lives of many, many people. But I don't really have direct access to what that might be. And you know, it's not really necessary. And that's something that I want to say to each one of you. What happens in the lives of other people is really their business. It's their life. It's up to them to take the inspiration, the motivation, the enlightenment, the love, and the benefit they receive and do with it what they will. I think whether we're an individual just going about doing daily life, whether we're a teacher with a handful of students, whether we work in the office and we connect with a few people every day, or whether we have a vast outreach of connections, we still, all of us, are one person doing our Father's work. When I read in the book of, whether it's the book of Matthew or Mark, Luke, or John, any of the Gospels, and I take a look at the last moments in the life of Yeshua, I look at the fact that He was alone. But he didn't take it on as a blanket of loneliness. He took it on as an opportunity to embrace his personhood. He was a person created by God with a sacred purpose. Interesting, purpose and person begin with the same syllable. He had a sacred purpose that only he could be responsible for or carry out or embrace. And in those last moments, as he looked at what seemed to be inevitable, he had no idea what the outcome would be. He just knew from the inside out what he had to do. In the end, that's all we each have. We have to make that ultimate decision about every day of our life from the inside out. And it's really up to us what attitude we bring to that, how we embrace it with emotion, faith, joy, fear, optimism, or anxiety. Or maybe a little bit of all the above. Sometimes our anticipation of what we're going to do even exceeds the feelings we have in the moment we do it. I'm working up right now to the moment, which will come in approximately 13 minutes, when I will be offering the blessing to all of you. And that blessing will come through me from Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and to you. Wherever you are, unbeknownst to me, uncontrolled, unedited, uninfluenced by me at all, and somewhere in the process of the blessing, I will just surrender, because it's all between you and God. And as we each go through life, that's the way it is. And that's the most important reason I can give you for why you need to love yourself, for why you need to discover the love within you, the basic joy that can spring forth inside you without even needing a reason, just because you're you. You remember when you were a little kid and sometimes you would just get the giggles for no reason? Or you'd be with another person, one of your little friends, and the two of you would just look at each other and get the giggles, and your parents would walk in and say, "What are you two monkeys laughing about?" "I don't know, we're just laughing." Well, that's the way joy springs up inside us. It doesn't need a reason. Sometimes we feel love inside ourselves, and we suppress it until we have a reason. We don't let it just be loving because we think, well, gee, what's that all about? I better kind of put a blanket on that until I know what I'm doing, where I'm going. What about just letting it be a fountain of you pouring out to the world? What about just sitting in a chair and smiling and remembering a time when you just loved your life and then let it become that moment you're living in right now, just loving your life? No matter what it is, no matter what's happening, because you see, whatever's going on around you is not a whole lot different than a movie in a theater. It's just the story unfolding. And your place in that story is not yet fully determined. There are suggestions about your place in the story that exist because of somebody else's opinion, or how they might place you in the script, or how they might expect you to show up. But your place in that story is entirely up to you. You could enter the story and be full of fear, or you could enter the story and be full of joy. And we all get to make that decision every day. I have more to add to that, but I want to take a call. And they've been waiting for a while, so this is a wireless caller from area code 858, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda and everybody. This is Kathy from Fallbrook.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm calling to request prayers for a client of mine who is struggling a lot right now, and he's very devout, and I know our human prayers can really help support him in his journey. So I don't
want
to give
his name. Yes, they can, and we will just hold that person in our hearts, in our blessings, as we move forward. And thank you for bringing that up. And actually, I want to just say something about prayer, because that's also how we could show up. Sometimes when you feel this joy or love and it doesn't make sense to you, you could turn it into a prayer. And the value of prayer is a little bit like what happens in the blessing. You see, the love of God is always with us. It's just all around us in everything. A little bit like radio waves and cable, television waves, and all other kinds of digital signals are in the air, in the energetic frequencies around us. We're bathing in them. We're swimming in them. But we can only tune in to the ones that have a particular attunement to our instrument of tuning in, whether it's a cell phone or a radio or a TV set or a cable channel. We've got to have the right application, the right tool, the right instrument in order to make that connection and open up the line. Well, we all have within ourselves the right instrument, application, and tool to open up to the blessings of God. But unfortunately, we've layered it over with some pretty hard shells. And those hard shells have a lot to do with past losses when we thought God wasn't with us, times in the past when we prayed and we thought God didn't answer our prayer. We might have been a little child and prayed for a pony, not really understanding all the ramifications that involve having a pony. When we live in an when our parents live in an apartment and live day to day on a very limited salary, and how impossible it would have been for us to have a pony. But God still may have answered your prayer in that he gave you a vacation where you were able to ride a pony. But you still got that little crust over that prayer you thought he didn't answer. Or that time when you were someone you really loved was sick. Maybe you prayed for a pet that just didn't make it. And you thought God had abandoned that little innocent pet. And you just pushed God out of your life. You didn't see the bigger picture. The fact that sometimes what we want is not possible in the larger tapestry of how the design of life is being woven. We don't see that. All we want is what we want. And we fail to offer to God our love and our faith in the simple words that say, or something better, or thy will be done. And please, O Lord, include me in it and let me know your blessings therein. We fail to realize that there's a larger picture that we're part of. And that's why we have to open up to loving others as ourselves and to loving God more unconditionally. You know, we expect of God unconditional love, but how often have we surrendered to loving God unconditionally? I think that's actually the real meaning of Yeshua's commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I don't think Yeshua really meant for everyone to become a willing martyr, to just lay their life on the line in mortal service to the Creator. Because actually, let's face it, God created us to live and to live a joyful, abundant, fulfilled life. There are only a few in history he actually called into lives of sacrifice. And to be sacrificial, I really do not believe that's what Yeshua meant when he said, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I think what he really meant is to love God unconditionally. In other words, love God inside your tolerance of the enormous design that God is working out for your life. And sometimes that can actually mean you reaching for even more abundance than you thought you needed. Maybe you just thought you needed your car repaired, and God thinks you need a whole new way of life. You know, sometimes we don't reach big enough. We need to reach large enough to even reach God. But what we do when we pray for one another is we reinforce that person's tangible connection with God, the receivership for blessings. In other words, their TV set may be on the blitz. They may be getting a signal with lots of snow in it. But our signal is clear. We can feel the blessings, the love, the abundance, and the healing love of God. And when we feel that on behalf of another person, we become united with that person on their behalf. We allow ourselves, if you will, our TV set, our cell phone, our application, our instrument to become the instrument of their receiving. This is what we do in the blessing. This is how I learned the blessing from Yeshua years and years ago. Well, actually, not that many years ago, a little over 5 years ago, when I was in extreme pain before my first hip replacement, he came to me, and every day, he relieved the pain. Of course, it came back, because he didn't change the condition. He knew I had to work through the condition, but he lent himself as an instrument of love for the blessings of God. Once I saw him do that, I said, can we do this together for others? And he said, sure. That's what I've been doing for 2,000 years. Let's do it together. That's when we started our blessing calls. And then we expanded it to include other people who come and learn how to connect their understanding and abilities of receivership to be a clearer, more available signal for others. The blessing isn't from us. The blessing is from God. It's from Yeshua. It's from the Holy Spirit. But we help to extend the instruments of receiving so that we can embrace one another in a giant spiritual hug that allows these blessings to enter the lives of other people more graciously, with more love, more benevolence, and actually even bring greater possibilities than anyone ever imagined was possible. This is what I've seen from the books I've written, Love Without End, The Keys of Yeshua. The blessings that have come from that are so much greater than I ever thought was possible. You see, the thing is, sometimes we under-expect God. And not only do we under-expect God, then we think God's let us down because God didn't supply our little under-expectation. What we need to do is embrace the fullness of what is possible. And then let God surprise us with the fullness of what's being made available for us. So let's be open. Let's receive. And let's be here for one another. In prayer, in blessing, in giving, sharing, and offering the blessing. From God, from Yeshua, from the Holy Spirit, to each and every one. I will now end my presentation, and let's move into the next step, which is preparing you for receiving the blessing. Please be seated. If you're not feeling like being seated, then you can lie down. That's okay. If you can, have your feet uncovered and your head uncovered, because the energy will flow through you. And most especially, try not to have over your head or feet anything synthetic, like running shoes or something that really is not a good energy conveyor. Cloth and leather, if you need to wear something over your feet or head, let it be natural fiber. And that's so much better, because we're going to be conveying not only the energy of God, of the Holy Spirit, of Yeshua, but also the earth. Remember, the earth is the giver of all things natural and the grounding beneath our feet. So she too is part of the blessing. I will say an opening prayer to Yeshua. And then while we are offering the energetic component of the blessing, you will be saying your prayer. Pray in love, in largeness, in acceptance, with unconditional love for God and love for your fellow man. But also pray for the desires of your heart. Whatever you need and want, let it be known. Let it be expressed from your heart. And then when we're finished, I will let you know. You go and rest and simply receive for 7 minutes. Don't think or don't process. Don't even continue your prayer. Just receive. Allow it to become part of your body, heart, and soul. Then get on with your life. Be joyful and enjoy the blessing. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, thank you for teaching us the larger blessing of our life, which has already been given, the fullness of which we have not even begun to explore. Let us know in every waking moment that there's so much more we could discover, reach, touch, enjoy, and offer to others than we've ever dreamed. Help us to see how large our prayers can be and how great is our God. We thank you for the blessings this day and for being with us always. We humbly submit ourselves to a greater love, a greater knowledge, and all the gifts that shall come from it. Amen. Blessing givers, please join me in conveying this special and sacred energy. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. God be with you. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.